We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back in to the Sixers and Joel Embiid and that just pitiful performance last night down in Miami in just a few minutes. But right now we have to go out to the guest line. Jack Fritz of the High Hopes podcast joining us here. Also, the BetQL Network. Jack's everywhere these days. CBS Sports Radio. But most importantly, he has to answer this question for us. Jack, are the Phillies back?
I've been trying to tell people for weeks, Joe. Everyone's got to calm down about this baseball team. They are good. They're playing good baseball. And had last Thursday not happened, I think we're feeling pretty good about where this team is at.
Well, you're probably right about that because they're knocking on the door to 500 if they had just won that game. They're three under now, 14 and 17. Jack, something amazing happened over the last couple of days, though. They won a series. I mean, they won only their third series of the year and their first road series. It's their first road series victory of the season. They needed it, and I thought today that was a really good win. I mean, Bailey Falter gave them 4 2/3 of good innings. The bullpen, pretty good after that. And Rhys Hoskins, who I've been very critical of this year, maybe it's part of it's because he's on my fantasy team and he was tanking me for 6 weeks or 5 weeks, but he's on one of those Rhys Hoskins streaks again.
He is, and I thought today was an impressive win from the standpoint that I think Logan Gilbert's a good pitcher, and I think he's the kind of guy that this team has struggled with in the past. I mean, he's a slider-heavy guy, which they've struggled with, and I thought it was going to be a ton of strikeouts, and it was going to be one of those kind of afternoons where they won't, you know, put the ball in play and do what they need to do to win a ball game. But credit to them. I mean, it's so frustrating, I would say, because they seem on two out of every three games to have a good offensive plan, and then they'll just, like, go away from it for no reason. So Rhys is definitely on a little bit of a hot streak. You know, for as much as he can be cold and kill your team, Joe, when he is hot, I mean, it just makes this Phillies offense way more lethal.
Well, it does, and we've seen it for years. And when he gets hot, he could be as good as anybody and as productive as anybody for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Hopefully this continues because they're going to need it over the next couple of weeks. Well, Jack, what do you think about the lineup right now and as far as how Girardi is kind of handling this thing? It's the Schwarber thing is it's like it's twisting Girardi into a pretzel here. They signed him to be a leadoff guy. I thought they bailed on it too early, and then, all right, so they put him towards 6 or 7 for a while. Then he got hot, or so they put him back at the top. And now he's struggling again. I don't know what he's going to do here because it seems like he wants to have him as the leadoff hitter, but right now he's killing them, and especially with all these lefties coming up, it feels like it might be time to get him back down a little bit, maybe Segura towards the top with Alec Bohm this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is that you can't bat him leadoff when you have a lefty on the mound. Like, that is just something that's not going to end well for you. And honestly, you and I, we've both been very critical of Girardi, but on this one, I don't know what you want him to do. You know, I think Schwarber makes logical sense, but it seems like he can't handle it. I mean, every single time they put him up there, it just doesn't work. You know, you could put JT there, but is that something you really want? Segura has gotten hot down towards the bottom of the lineup, which has been awesome from a lengthening the lineup perspective. So do you want to put him in a leadoff spot and jeopardize that? I'm not sure. You know, just maybe they just start innings down with one out and they don't even worry about it. I think that it could be something they could do going forward. No, but, you know, I think the best idea at this point, given that he's not driving the ball to the ballpark, but he's still putting together good at bats, would be putting Alec Bohm there and let him stay there and let him hopefully work at bats and put the ball in play. And he's bat number 300. He looks pretty confident at the plate. So maybe that could be something that could get the team going. But other than that, I don't know what the option is. Like, if you're facing a lefty and you're playing Roman Quinn, maybe you just put him in center field or put him at leadoff. And the worst case scenario is he can get on first and steal a bag and put some pressure on an opposing defense. I think Roman is a disaster of a leadoff hitter, but at the same time, there is some upside there, and it kind of lets the rest of the guys stay in comfortable spots.
Yeah, Jack Fritz joining us here, High Hopes Podcast. Phillies win a series over the Mariners 2-1. Now they go to the Dodgers for 4. They get some good news here, Jack. It sounds like Zach Wheeler's on his way out west, so they'll get him off the COVID list. No Eflin yet, but boy, this schedule, and I've talked about it a lot, and I'm sure you have too on the podcast. The schedule between now and like the beginning of June is just insane. Do you think they're going to keep themselves afloat? Like, I don't expect them to come out of this with a winning record between now and June 9th, because I think it's, if you extend it past the first week of June, I think there's also the Angels and Brewers on there, and I guess the Angels are finally good again. So this is a crazy schedule over the next month. Do you think when we get to, let's say, June 10th, the Phillies will still be in striking distance so they could turn the season around?
Well, if you remember, last year, it was what, their June that everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to be 100 games yep. back in the division. And the end of the month, I think 500. So as long as they keep afloat, I'll take that as a win. I guess my thing is, Joe, is that I think most of Major League Baseball is pretty good now. You know, even like the top 20, I would say there's like 24 teams that are at least trying a little bit. So I think no matter what, you're going to be playing against a decent opponent. So I get it's going to be hard this next month, but if this team is at all for real, like, I'm so sick and tired of having to lower the expectations on this team. Like, they have a $230+ million payroll. I don't care what the schedule is. Go get the job done. Like, I don't need to do Chicken Little, Sky's Falling. If you're a good baseball team, go prove to me you're a good baseball team. I'm sick and tired of having to sit here and try to convince myself they're a good baseball team. Go prove to me you're a good baseball team. Your lineup is good enough. Like, that lineup is a good, solid lineup when they're focused and they're committed to doing the right things. Do that. Your starting staff has been the fifth best in baseball since the second week of the season, third week of the season. That's fine. The bullpen has enough pieces. Like, I don't need to continue to sit here and be annoyed with where the team is at. Go win games. So, you know, I think the Phillies are right in there. I think they're just as talented as most of the teams in baseball. And, yeah, I know the schedule is tough, but I'm so sick and tired of having to worry about the schedule. Go be good. And prove to me you're good rather than having to me think that you're good.
Yeah, well, we'll know in a month. I mean, if they're buried, then they weren't good. And if they're afloat, then they have a chance the rest of the season. All right, Jack, you mentioned the bullpen. And it's interesting because I don't love the back half of the bullpen, like the guys you don't want really in there, the Norwoods, or Bilotti's okay. But I do think they've been pretty good when Joe only has to use a few of them, right? When it's like today, when it's Sir Anthony and it's Familia and it's Knebel, and then, you know, Alvarado makes me uncomfortable, but okay. And then Hand, for the most part, last night he wasn't good. But like, you can get by with those five. But I kept thinking, like, they need one more. What'd you think of Francisco Morales a couple days ago? Obviously, they think there's something here. It reminds me of 2018 when they fast-tracked Sir Anthony to the major leagues in May, you know, from Double A. What'd you think the other night when you watched the pitch?
Yeah, my first thought was 2 years too late. I mean, they should have done this a couple of years
right.
ago. He was never going to be a starter. It was frustrating. Even then, it was like, all right, it's time to transition to in the bullpen. I think there's obviously upside there. I mean, he's been a top five prospect in the Philly system for a couple of years now, so obviously he has some talent. I guess, like, he's always struggled with command, and he was good the other night with it, but I can't say I totally trust that. And I do still think that Sir Anthony coming up the first time was definitely better. But 86 to 88, hammer, power, slider is just tough to consistently square up. So the thing that's tough is that I don't want to put a ton of pressure on a 23-year-old kid to kind of save the Phillies bullpen. But if he can be a guy, like, for example, I mean, today Sir Anthony had to come in the sixth, And that kind of kills you late when you have to go to Familia or Alvarado, like in the eighth inning. So if you can use Morales in the sixth inning and then save Teranthony for the eighth, I think that just makes the rest of your bullpen much better. But other than that, I do think that there are at least four guys in the bullpen that they just haven't had in years past, Joe. And that is like Knebel, Familia, Seranthony, and mostly Brad Hand that should get the job done on most nights. And then other than that, like at least the guys have stopped. Like at least like I think people were overreacting way too strongly to Norwood's bad game last Thursday. I think that guy has good stuff and could help his team win ball games. And I just think that they have more pieces back there than they've had in years past. I can't get JD Hammer out of my head. Like
with his glasses, with those glasses.
Yeah. Oh, the worst. But they've gone from that to his role in the bullpen is now filled by like Velotti, who I think is bad stuff, and possibly Morales. So, Brad Hand is definitely worrying me a little bit, but the back of the bullpen is just a big upgrade than it has been in years past.
All right, so last night, Aaron Nola pitched. They lost that game to Robbie Ray, and Nola was a weird night with so much weak contact and weird things happening. But for the most part, the three starts before that, I mean, Nola was excellent. What are you seeing with Nola? I mean, Jack, it's been years. We keep waiting for him to have the bounce-back year, and I like the way he's pitched the last month or so. I know last night was a weird night, but for the most part, this is the best he's pitched in a long time.
Yeah, Aaron Nola's back. I've been so hesitant to kind of jump on that board because he's let me down so often. But even last night, I thought he was great. I'm not letting the scoreboard and the hits kind of deter me from that. It was so many bleeders. It was so many balls that blooped in. And honestly, I have not seen him have that good glove side command on his fastball since the heydays, since 2018, parts 2019. Like it was noticeable. And he was consistently dotting that outside corner to righties and inside corner to lefties with that fastball that frankly we haven't seen in years now. So, you know, a couple starts ago, I thought they had a new plan for him. I thought the new plan was, okay, we'll work fastballs up and then we'll start curveballs at the same spot and let it go to the bottom half of the zone. And what happened last night was just like what we had seen in 2018, which was fastballs at the knees, but dotting both sides of the plate. So I understand the trepidation to want to be back in on Aaron Nola, but I think Aaron Nola is way closer to being the 2018, 2019 Aaron Nola than the guy we've seen most of 2020 and 2021.
All right, Jack, we'll end with this last Phillies question. Then I have a big picture question for you. You said that they'll be okay and then they'll be afloat and you still think this is a good team. Do you think the Phillies are playing for a wild card berth? How good do you think the Mets are? We've seen a lot of them. They have a 7-game lead right now. I mean, it's crazy looking at the standings, and it's still early, but nobody else even has more than a 4.5-game lead. The Yankees are 4.5 up in the East, the AL East. The Mets are 7 up. Is everyone else in this division playing for a wild card? Do you think the Mets are this good?
Probably, but I also don't think the Mets. I genuinely believe that the Phillies outplayed them all weekend long besides the one inning and the second game on Sunday. Like, I understand that what they're doing on offense is basically put the ball in play and kind of small ball-ish. They're like 30th in Major League Baseball in hard hit rate, which isn't the end of the world. Doesn't mean as much as anything else, but I think that means a little bit when you're talking about this team. So, they're fine. I think the Mets are fine. I always thought they're going to be in the mix, but I just find it very hard to believe that team runs away with this division. Unless it's just a magical Mets season and everything goes right and Buck Showalter presses all the right buttons and Scherzer's in the Cy Young conversation. I just find it hard to believe that a team that is that kind of not that dynamic offensively continues it as the season goes on. And a good start for us, Joe, was that Tyler McGill, who had been unbelievable all season long, got absolutely lit up tonight. So that was good to see. And Joe, I don't know about you, but I find it very hard to believe that from game one to game 162 that the Mets are going to have a perfectly normal baseball season.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no chance that this entire season is just going to be a Cinderella year for the Mets. So I'm waiting for the collapse. I look forward to the collapse, and the Phils will be 6.5 games out tonight.
So speaking of Cinderella years, the team that had it last year, led by the former Phillies manager, Gabe Kapler, I'm sure you saw the video tonight. I need to know what you think about this. If you have a full beard, do you also have a mustache?
No. You have a beard. Like, it does not count as a mustache.
But you have a mustache on top of the beard.
But you only count it as a mustache when you shave the beard. Other than that, it's just the beard.
I know, but he has a point, though.
I don't care that he has a point. I can't believe that guy is, like, one of the best managers in baseball. I don't get it. We've seen what he was like here. He's a robot. There's no way that guys are amped up to play for Gabe Kapler. And no stupid mustache beard debate is going to get me off of that. He is unbelievable.
19-12 swept the Rockies this week, and he's talking about mustaches and beards.
Oh, it's so nauseating. And he's ruining baseball with his attack on the unwritten rules. I have never rooted harder against Gabe Kapler than this person. The worst. He is the worst.
Hey, listen, if the Phillies poured some more runs in last Thursday, like Gabe Kapler's team would have done, then the collapse wouldn't have happened.
I know. I'm well aware. They should have broke all the unwritten
That's
rules
right.
and been disrespectful to opponents. And, yeah. Adorable drop, Moch. I like that you found that. That's cute.
All right, Jack. We appreciate it. New high hopes tonight?
Yeah, we're about to record it now. Self is already complaining about how late he's going to have to stay up.
Oh,
I mean, you
want to
break
James.
Out the baby. Break out the baby drop for him.
There it is for James. All right, Jack.
That's for Seltzer.
That's for James. All right. Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Talk to you soon. Don't let the Phils get out.
Oh, there it is. Jack Fritz, High Hopes Podcast, which they're about to record now. Go download that. Jack's crying. James is crying. And we will get to this mustache beard thing. And Moche has a beard, so he's very qualified on this.
But do I have a mustache?
Well, we'll find out. We'll see what you think. John in Maple Shade, I don't know if he has a beard or a mustache, but he's on WIP. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on? I called to talk about Embiid, but a quick shout-out to Jack, man, the Vimo wedding guy, man. He's pretty awesome. And I love this show. The two favorite guys is Ike and Johnny Marks, and Jack's usually on there. He's the producer. So I agree 100% about the Kapler baby crying was awesome. He's a buffoon. That guy's a buffoon.
He's winning, though. He's winning out in San Francisco.
Yeah, he's a buffoon, man. I'm losing, you know. But, so the guy Jason that called, I think is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, where he called and said that Embiid purposely didn't play well to show that he should have won the MVP. That is just asinine. I'm sorry. It's absurd, man. I mean, the guy's
I don't believe it. John, we all have theories, and Barkley has a theory. I don't care why he didn't play well. I just know he didn't play well, but I'll give him more credit than that. I can't imagine he would have tanked a game.
No,
I can't imagine.
I'm 51 years old, okay? I've been a diehard Philadelphia sports fan my whole life, and I hate the fact that you say, oh, you're a homer. Okay, so was I a homer when I sat through a loyal fan when the Sixers, the product they put on the floor before tanking, during tanking, I mean, it was horrific. They had a bunch of D-guy leagues playing on the team. But guess what? I still went to a game a year. I still supported them. So I sit through the misery. I sit through when the Eagles, you know, like I said, I'm 51 years old, so I go through the pain too. So I don't just bandwagon. I go through it all, and that's what a loyal fan does. And Embiid, the whole team came out flat last night, point blank. Doc Rivers, I'm going to refer to him as Glenn now. I don't even call him Doc Rivers anymore. He's Glenn Rivers. The whole team came out flat. It looked like crap. I mean, Embiid embodies Philadelphia. He had a horrible game, but the guy, I'm not making an excuse for him, but he is playing where we cry if athletes don't play with injuries and all this and that. The guy is playing with a lot of, you know, ligament in his thumb, a broken orbital bone. What I mean...
Yeah, he's a tough guy, but he has to show up. Like, if he's going to play, I just feel like his energy last night, his body language, it was like he didn't want to be there in the first half.
I agree. And like I said, the whole team showed up flat. So who do you put that on? Do you put it on Glenn Rivers? Do you put it on the whole team? the whole team is responsible. The players got to perform.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for a new voice. Definitely with the Phillies. Girardi has absolutely no pulse.
Oh, none. I mean, he's it just feels like he's cashing a check.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, me and you could have managed the Yankees team.
I know. They were loaded. I mean, they had A-Rod and Jeter and all, and Posada and Cano and Teixeira. Yeah. Yeah,
just
of course.
The guys on paper, man. You got a W. Anybody could have managed that.
Yeah, especially the bullpen, John. John, we appreciate it. Mariano Rivera sitting in the back of the bullpen. And after he left, it was, you know, Chapman. I mean, they loaded, obviously. It's the Yankees. 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard here. All right, we got a lot to do in the next couple minutes of this show. So a couple things I want to get to. Number one, we'll grab your phone calls about Embiid. I blame him the most for the loss last night. I just thought he was a complete no-show in the biggest game of the season. Unacceptable for a player of that stature to play like that the way he did last night. I know he's hurt, but it's just unacceptable. I also want to get to this Gabe Kapler sound on mustaches and beards. It is very, very important stuff. And we're tackling the important subjects here in the evening show. And Moshe Kravitz actually has a beard, so I don't have facial hair except for, like, you know, every couple days when I'm just too lazy to shave, I get some scruff, but I don't have a facial hair, so I can't really I'm not qualified on this. Moshe is. He's going to give us his thoughts on this very important subject. And I have created here a mock Eagles schedule. I've gone, you know, week 1 through 18, put the bye in there, home, road. I got it all. I've created an Eagles schedule, and I will tell you what I came up with here. We'll see by tomorrow night how much of this is accurate. You know, we obviously know the Minnesota game in week 2, but I filled everything else in. I created a schedule. We'll see how my guess, how close it comes to reality. All that coming up. 215-592-9494. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the important stuff, which is the no-show by the Sixers last night. And I thought the game was squarely on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid did not show up last night, played poorly, moped around. It was as bad of a performance by a great player and as disengaged of a performance by a great player as you're going to see in the NBA postseason. Very disappointed in Joel, and I thought he's the biggest reason why the Sixers got blown out last night. So we'll get back to your thoughts on that, on the Sixers. We get ready for Game 6 tomorrow, but we got to throw this in because we always tackle the important stuff here. And, you know, this is my guy, Gabe Kapler, now managing the Giants, manager of the year last year in the National League. Also another good start. They're 19-12 this year. But forget that. Wins and losses, who cares about that? Before the game, I want you to hear what Kapler was debating with the San Francisco media about. And then we'll get Moshe's opinion because he actually is qualified to answer it. Here's some of Gabe this afternoon out in San Francisco about beards and mustaches.
So this is sort of like the... Is a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh, it's a
question. Like, hot dog, is that a sandwich? Like, where does that... Okay, so this is about mustaches, since it's Mustache May. And I was talking to some of our players who have full beards. If you have a full beard, do you also have a mustache?
No.
Okay, so here's my counter to that. If you go to the barber shop and you have a full beard, the barber may say, would you like me to leave your mustache a little bit longer? Doesn't that mean that you have a mustache?
No.
I've never heard a barber say that.
So would you say, do you have a full beard?
Yeah, I used to.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
yeah.
If you want a mustache, just shave off the rest of it. Is that what you're trying to say, Gabe?
No. We have a lot of players who wear full beards. In my opinion, they are participating in Mustache May. So, okay, so... what's the line? Let's say you take your beard down to like a very short half or one, but you leave your mustache like Kurt Casale sometimes does, like more Tom Selleck style. Is that then a mustache?
It's a very interesting question. It is Mustache May. I wasn't aware it is, but now I found out it was.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's Movember usually,
Movember,
right?
Movember is a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Mustache May is a thing. Maybe it's a localized thing
okay.
out in San Fran.
Yeah, whatever. They're all growing mustaches out there. Now, Mosh Kravitz has a beard, so you are qualified on this. Mosh, what do you think? Gabe's trying to make the case that his bearded players, they have mustaches. Do you agree?
Yes. If you have a beard... a full beard that contains hair on your upper lip.
Like you do.
Like I do. You have a mustache. Now, you can have other kinds of beards
right.
that don't involve having a mustache, but a full beard with hair on your upper lip as well includes a mustache. In terms of whether or not they're participating in Mustache May, if they're not changing their shaving, trimming routine at all for their beard... And specifically their mustache, their upper lip region, as it were.
Right.
Then, if they're not changing at all, then no, they're not participating in Mustache May.
Oh, so if you jumped in, like you decided to be part of this,
mm-hmm.
the way you are now, beard, you wouldn't be in Mustache May.
For me to have participated in
you
Mustache
gotta change something
May,
up.
Then I would probably keep. I presume the thing is that you grow out your mustache like
right.
you do in Movember.
Yeah.
And the thing that I would do if I wanted to keep my full beard is either I would shave my upper lip and let just the mustache part regrow,
right.
or I would keep trimming my beard down and just let the mustache grow.
Got it.
So if you aren't doing anything in any way to maintain to trim any parts of your beard, mustache, whatever, then no, you're not participating in Mustache May. You just... happen to have a mustache.
Got it. All right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. Very, very important stuff in the sporting world today. Luke is in Westchester. What's up, Luke?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Luke. What's up, man?
I'm doing great, man. Love to hear you, man. First time, long time.
Well, I appreciate that. Luke, what are you thinking tonight? What's on your mind?
I call to agree and disagree with you, man.
Okay.
You know, obviously, Joel Embiid is the biggest culprit of last night, no doubt in my mind. But it was a 30-point game. My biggest pet peeve is not with really you, and I'd like to get to the Phillies point after this, too, but not really you, but the whole station is outraged about Joel Embiid. You know, he's going to come back next game, and we're going to win game 6, and we're going to win game 7. That's what's going to happen. And he was the biggest culprit last night. And I feel the same way. If you're going to play, play. You know what I mean? There's no room for injuries. But I couldn't stand listening to, you know, Eskin and all those guys talk about, you know, Joel Embiid, this and that. That's all I'm saying. I'll move to a Phillies point if you're okay with that.
Yeah, and I hope you're right, Luke. I don't have as much faith as you do. Now, the home team has won every game in this series, so it will not shock me if the Sixers win tomorrow night because that's just the way the series has gone. It's hard for me to believe they're going to go win a road game 7. I hope you're right, Luke, because that would erase what happened last night. It would make up for it. We would move on from all of it, and they'd get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I hope you're right. I just don't have as much faith as you. What do you think on the Phils?
My thing with the Phillies is mostly about the coach, and I really despise how the whole station has this fake outrage about a baseball manager. That's my biggest thing. It's like... A baseball manager doesn't matter that much. You signed all these players, right? We watched the game the other night. They scored 0 runs through 9 innings of a baseball game and then scored 1 fake run in the 10th inning. And we have fans talking about, oh, a baseball manager needs to do this and that. Is he going to hit for us? Is he going to pitch for us? I don't understand. You have players on the field. They need to hit the ball. And that's my biggest thing. And I have the same kind of thing with Doc Rivers. Like, you lost by 30 points. And the coach obsession is something to me that I don't understand. The players need to play.
Yeah, well, I think for the most part, you and I are on the same page. I think we go too far with it. And Luke, man, I appreciate the phone call. I don't think Doc's very good. I'm not gonna be upset if he's gone in a couple days. I think he will be if they lose in this round. I don't think Girardi's done a very good job. I also don't think, you know, this is a 100-win baseball team that Joe Girardi is destroying. Like, I don't. The only sport where their coach really, truly makes a tangible difference is football. That's, I mean, Bill Belichick's Bill Belichick for a reason. He makes a tangible difference. Andy Reid makes a tangible difference. That's that sport. Tangible difference, and has for a long time. Baseball's not like that. I do think the one thing about Girardi that frustrates me is I don't think he's great with the bullpen. No, today he was did a good job. And what frustrates me about Girardi, and I do think it kind of pokes at me, is I just don't think there's a sense of urgency from this baseball team. And I never felt like there's a culture here. Like, Buck Showalter's created a culture with the Mets already. And I don't feel that with Joe Girardi and the Phillies. Steve's in Egg Harbor Township. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing? A couple of things on the Phillies and the Sixers real quick. First of all, I listened to your guest at 9 o'clock, and they might have outplayed the Mets, blah, blah, blah. But there was two mistakes in that series. First of all, Girardi bringing in, what was his name? The guy who got smoked on Sunday night by the Mets is one of the guys he brought in, the first pitcher on Thursday night when we lost the lead in a Mets.
Norwood.
That was a terrible decision. He should have brought Sir Anthony in, who pitched on Monday against Texas. And we probably, more than likely, would have won the game.
Yep.
And you know, outplaying a team, I don't want to hear about outplaying a team for the whole weekend except for the last game. We lost 2 out of 3. We've lost all 3 series to the Mets. So, and our 3 series wins are against teams that are going to lose probably more than 20 games over 500 this year. And we haven't beaten a team with a really good winning team yet. So as far as I'm concerned, Jack, Fritz, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, this weekend, before you go on, Steve, I mean, this is the ultimate test. They go to the Dodgers, who have a team ERA right now of like 2.3.
If they win 2 out of 4, then I'll say, okay, well, maybe we got something to be happy about, but I expect to lose 3 out of 4. As far as the Sixers fans, including me, I feel fortunate that this series is not over. Okay, they made a big mistake starting Lowry in Game 4. And if they don't start Lowry in Game 4, we very easily could have lost that game. Okay, so I feel fortunate that this series isn't over and we still got a shot. And I hope we win tomorrow night. But you know, Lowry's not going to see the floor anymore in this series. So let's feel fortunate that we have a chance to still win the series.
Yeah, well, you're right about the Lowry thing. It was addition by subtraction. We appreciate the phone call. Lowry couldn't move in Game 4. I mean, he looked like he was, I don't know how old Kyle Lowry is. I mean, 35 now at this point. He looked like he was 35 going on 80 in Game 4. I mean, he couldn't move up and down the court. He looks overweight. It's probably because he can't run and can't do cardiovascular he needs to. He just looks like a bad player right now. I mean, and we know Kyle Lowry's been an excellent NBA player for a long time. He doesn't look like that. And I just thought, you know, Duncan Robinson, they dusted him off last night for the first time. They looked more athletic. They looked able to move on the perimeter. It was pretty remarkable, the difference last night when it came to Lowry not being in the lineup. Williams in Middletown. Hey, William.
Hey.
Hey, William, what's up?
Hey, I want to talk about the Embiid situation.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't think we should be blaming Embiid as much as we should be blaming Doc Rivers, James Hardy, and also Tobias Harris, because they knew Embiid was pissed and mad because he didn't get the MVP. And if Doc Rivers couldn't pull Embiid when they were at practice at the shoot-around, he wanted to mope like he always do and want to cry and whine and complain, right? Doc should have pulled him in the office and said, yo, bro, you can't worry about yourself. You can't worry about that MVP, right? Leave that alone. Right now, we're fighting for a championship, and we're trying to get into the next round. I need you. I need you at full strength. I need you ready to go. Can I count on you? Can I get that out of you? Right? And then during the game time when he was so out of it, Harding, who's an all-star, great player, okay, he ain't doing that well now, but he got to be able to stand up and say, yo, man, enough is enough. Right? We need you. We need you in this game. Let's do this. Let's get this done. Right? Tobias Harris has to say the same thing. Tobias, they said nothing. They let this guy go. And what that whole team lacks is a simple word called heart. Heart. And what needs to happen is, right, and I'll pay for it, fly them all to Kansas. I'll pick up a limo. put them on that yellow brick road and let them ask the Grand Wizard when they get the Kansas, ask the Grand Wizard to give them some heart because they have no heart.
You know what, William? I'll help you pay for that flight. Let's get him out there. Let's get him out to the Wizard and get him some heart. You're right, and I think it's a fair point you brought up, William. And I didn't know where you were going with it about, you know, Harden and Doc, but you're right. Someone there has to, if they see it, right? If they see what we saw last night, someone there's got to say, like, "Hey, man, we need you. Snap out of this." And I guess no one did because it didn't change all night.
Even Doc did not even stand up on the floor and show any anger and say, "Yo, man, what are we doing? What are we doing out here? You're being that calm guy. Get him out of here. Doc got to go because you're not pushing that team and you're not pushing them to the level." And everybody know Embiid. When you look at what Kevin Durant did to Joel Embiid when they played Brooklyn the first night, right? Brooklyn sitting up there. Durant took Embiid's heart, and the Sixers got blown out that night by the Brooklyn Nets. They lack heart. And allowing Embiid to keep whining and crying about his pinky finger and his thumb, they need to be telling him, "Yo, bro, don't be letting people know about all your injuries. Let's go."
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's you know what, and the fact that they couldn't do that last night, it just shows you it's not a championship team. William, we appreciate the phone call. That's a good point. I mean, I blame Embiid for his own actions and performance last night, but no, nobody stepped up and told him to stop it. You know, and just they all let it happen. It's a fair point. And Doc Rivers, I mean, I know he showed the emotion when Joel his face hurt again, but boy, oh boy. By the way, I just saw the end as we're doing the show here on TNT. Our old buddy Drew Holiday. What a remarkable finish to the game tonight. I looked up about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, 12 minutes ago, we came back from break. We looked up, and it looked like the game was sealed for Boston. They were up about 6 with 2.5 minutes to go. They had the ball. They were kind of like dribbling it out, like they just kind of going through the motions to finish the game. The Bucks came back, took a lead on Boston with about, you know, 8-9 seconds to go. Boston possession. Our old buddy Drew Holiday finished the game. I will put up this defensive performance to finish a playoff game with any I've ever seen in the NBA playoffs. He blocked Marcus Smart's shot through the, then the ball's kind of like floating around the baseline. He picks it up, throws it off Smart, so it's possession Milwaukee. Milwaukee goes down, hits a couple free throws, so then it's a 3-point game, and Boston gets one more chance. Smart going down the court, and Drew just stole it from him. I mean, he just took it at midcourt and walked down, and did you see how the end there was just like, that was such a cool ending. He just like stared at the bench and dribbled the ball out with like a second ago. What a performance.
I mean, the Celtics were up, unless I'm mistaken, by double digits at multiple points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I looked up,
I thought it was over.
Like 15, 16 seconds left, and Milwaukee's down by 2, and then boom, they get a putback bucket, and then boom, a block, and boom, a steal. That was an exciting ending.
It was that was a remarkable and by the way, would Giannis have 39 or 40 tonight? Giannis,
best player in the league.
Yeah, the best player in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't care what the MVP voting says. Giannis is unbelievable.
But look, he might not have been the most valuable to his individual team, but that's because he's got a really, really good team around him. And Nikola Jokic does not have a really, really good team around him.
Well, that's for sure. Not like that. Not like the defending champs. Let's talk to Scott, who's up on WIP. Hey, Scott.
Hey there. I think, I think you're a little bit rough on Embiid, but I understand where you're coming from. I look at all the positives that he has worked through in the last couple years, 3 years, you know, and it's really been quite remarkable. But I will say this, if you did a comparison, and I think Howie had a little bit of luck, but if you take a comparison of what Morey's doing and what the Sixers are doing, and what happened to the Eagles this year in the draft? Morey, you know, these guys, they talk about analytics and everything. All analytics is take your statistics and figuring out what is the best situation, who is the best person, who is going to have the most potential. And these guys have blown these things over and over and over again. I'm so excited about the Eagles. I think getting Nakobe Dean was just pure luck, and the fact that we got him, and the character of all those guys, I really am excited about, and that's what the Sixers need. But that whole trade with Simmons, you had to get rid of him. He he was a cancer. But, you know, Maury had a lot of other potential. He could have gotten healed and Halliburton.
I would have loved Halliburton, yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, these guys, they're getting paid this huge money. And I listened to Howard, you know, and he's talking about them being bank robbers and stuff. And, you know, he's actually right. But, I mean, you know, just going all the way back to, you know, the whole Mark Hill. I mean, why was Mark Hill this person that he played? And I went to Arizona. I'm from Philadelphia, but I've always been a Pac-12 enthusiast, even though I'm a Big Five enthusiast. And, you know, how do they pick this guy? It's just like, I hate to say it, but it's just like Simmons. You know, Simmons didn't take his team to the NCAA championship. He didn't take them anywhere.
Right.
You know, and these guys are pros and they have all this stuff. I mean, the Eagles are finally turning it around. Next year is going to be a great year as well with the draft. And I really hope Jalen Hurts has a fantastic year. He's got the right attitude. He's got some guys that he's got a chemistry with. And the Sixers need the same thing. I don't understand why. I love Maxey, but why these guys all, you know, all at the same time go dead, and then they all are up at another.
Yeah,
time.
I don't know, you know, Ms. Scott. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. You know, a couple of things and good call and good points. I think the Sixers, in a big picture, they're front runners. When things are good for the Sixers, it's great. They're bullies. You punch them back, they don't know what to do. I mean, last night was like a bully getting punched. They just fall to the ground. That's what the Sixers have been for years. As far as it is interesting, you know, the drafting of all these players, right? Ben Simmons, go back to Carson Wentz, Markelle Fultz, Jalen Reagor, Andre Dillard. I do think for years the teams here ignored the right. There's got to be a mentality, like a mental toughness. Doesn't it feel like the teams here just like, I don't know, it's like a blind spot. Like, oh, he could jump that high. He could throw that well. You know, all this kind of stuff. And we just ignored it. I think it's changing. I think at least the Eagles certainly have made it a conscious effort the last couple of years to change it. I mean, just think about the draft picks. Hurts, Devontae, Dickerson, N'Kobe Dean. It certainly feels like there's a conscious effort now to try to draft guys that are mentally tough, winners at college, like they can handle all this nonsense, the big city stuff. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. You look back, Moshe, at 5 years, 6 years of drafting in this city, we're like, these teams ignored, like, hey, are these kids mentally tough? Oh, no, they're not. Oh, no big deal. That won't matter.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I hadn't even thought about it that way until now, but we went through generations of every draft pick, trade, free agent, acquisition. Part of the equation was, are they a Philly guy?
Right.
Are they gritty enough for this city? All that kind of stuff. And now they bring in the Jordan Mailatas, the Jordan Davises, guys who are just going to bully the people in front of them. N'Kobe Dean, who's small but plays ferociously.
Yep.
You know, it's been a while since there's been a Brian Dawkins type mentality with any guy on any of these teams.
You would think it's common sense, yet these teams they lost it. I mean, they lost it for a while.
Flyers that talk Broad Street bullies nonstop, they haven't been the bullies in decades.
No, I even think that Jalen Reagor, I think his issue's in his head. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a bad athlete. You know, there's a reason why he was a high pick in the draft, but it's in his all his head. It's
Aguilar.
Yeah, right. He even knew it was in his head. He was kind of he was self-aware of all his issues.
Oh, yeah.
I was rooted for him. I'm glad he's carved out at least a solid NFL career with the Patriots and the Raiders last year. All right, before we have Rob Cherry coming in. Everyone stay on the lines. We'll get to everyone's call here. I know a lot of reactions to the Sixers. So I did this earlier. I'm watching the Phillies game, and you know what? I was like, all right, we have some leaks with the Eagles schedule. I'm going to try to create a mock Eagles schedule. This is my Eagles schedule. We'll see by 8 p.m. tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, everyone tune in. We're going to do a schedule release show tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. James Seltzer is going to be live. We're going to have some guests call in. Full Eagles schedule release, NFL schedule release show tomorrow night starting at 7 p.m. We'll have Howard on from 6 to 7. We'll get ready for the Sixers and react to the other night and all that kind of stuff. But we will do a full show tomorrow on the NFL schedule release. And you know we're going to do game-by-game Eagles predictions. There's no question. You have to. It's like a sports radio rule that you have to do game-by-game Eagles predictions. But I wanted to do this, and Moshe, we'll see how many of these by tomorrow night actually hit. So here is my mock Eagles schedule. Here is my guess at what the Eagles schedule will be.
I'm going out and saying, Joe is telling you tonight, a day ahead,
that's
what
right.
the Eagles' schedule is going to be.
Insider info. Actually, there's none. I'm guessing here. So here's – we already know one game. Obviously, we know the home opener is week two. All right? That's Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. So by that, we know they're going to open on the road. Here, I have them opening week one at the Arizona Cardinals. Eagles at Cardinals week one. That'll be a fun week one game. Cardinals playoff team last year, Eagles playoff team. Quarterback kind of questions long term. Do the Cardinals want Kyler? They're going to pay him. Obviously, the Eagles and Jalen. And that was one of Jalen Hurts' first games. Was out in Arizona starting, was it 2 years ago now? It was a shootout against Kyler Murray. That's a fun, entertaining week one game. All right, week one at Arizona. Week two, we already know it, for real, at home against Minnesota Monday night. Week three, at the Houston Texans. Week four, Doug Peterson and the Jaguars come in. Week five, versus the Saints. I made this one Thursday Night Football. Everyone gets a Thursday Night Football game. Eagles, Saints at home week five. Week six, at the Indianapolis Colts. Week seven, home against the Giants. Week eight, at the Cowboys. We'll make that a Sunday Night Football game. Week nine, we're going to put the bye in the middle. Last year, the schedule makers gave the Eagles a very, very, very late bye. It was like week 14. I think they kind of even that out for them this year, and they give them a bye right smack dab in the middle.
And I see that. I like that. I can see them giving either right after the Giants or right after the Cowboys game, there being a bye.
Little reprieve there. And then after that, I have them at the Commanders against Wentz week 10 on Monday night. So three straight division games separated by a bye. Week 11 versus the Bears. Week 12, the A.J. Brown Bowl versus the Titans. Week 13 at Green Bay. Week 14 versus the Steelers at home. Week 15 at the Lions. And then they end with three straight division games. Week 16 versus the Cowboys here. At the Giants week 17. And week 18, they end against Wentz and the Commanders at home. That's Carson Wentz's return. We'll see if he's still the starting quarterback in week 18 against the Commanders. That's my mock schedule. We'll see how close I am tomorrow night. What do you think, Mosh? Mock schedule.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, the order of things, which games you're going to put on, they might put on prime time. But I have a question for you. If Carson Wentz is hurt or is no longer the quarterback or something, does he manufacture a reason to not travel with the team for that last game of the season?
Yeah, well, especially if he's benched by then, because he's probably out of Washington anyway, right? He's probably going to be cut.
If he's benched, he's not lasting through to the next season, obviously.
Right. So why would he come, right? It was kind of like the end here. I mean, he didn't suit up the last couple games here, right? He kind of avoided that. I don't imagine he'd stay on the sidelines for 3 hours to get booed if he's not playing. If he's playing and the game matters to them or whatever, yeah, he'll play if he's a pro, but if he's not the starting quarterback,
he's not going to be a starter and suddenly fake an injury
week
18. But I'm saying, like, if he's not the starter,
he's not coming. No, there's no way. There's no chance he'll be here. All right, there's my mock schedule. Rob Cherry, he's got a real show, not a mock show. And I'm sure he's got some thoughts on the Sixers after. I mean, Rob, you've seen a lot of playoff games over the years. A 35-point playoff loss it's embarrassing what happened last night.
It's beyond embarrassing. It's like they didn't show up.
They didn't.
And I don't think they can play in Miami. So even if they win tomorrow night, it's not going to matter for Game 7.
I thought, and there's been a lot of reaction, what Charles Barkley said, what Shaq said. I thought Joel Embiid's body language last night was awful.
It was. He was like, he was defeated before he got in the game, it
yep.
seemed like. There were passes he couldn't catch, passes that were thrown over his head, passes he threw over people's heads. There were so many mistakes last night, and just it was lack of passion, lack of effort from everybody, it seemed.
And in a game five in a 2-2 series, it's
knowing
just,
that this is the game where you win a series.
Right. What's it, 82% of the time, 2-2, game five, you win the series. It was so disappointing, and I have no faith in them. Like, they might come back and win tomorrow night, but I'm with you. Like, I have no faith they're going to go win a game seven in Miami.
When they won the two games here, I kept thinking to myself, well, they're still not going to win in Miami.
Right.
What's it matter at this point? They don't know how to play in Miami. And you know what? Miami is not that good a team.
They're not
beatable.
Yeah, they're not great. They're not like they're not close to the Suns, a 64-win team. They're okay.
I think they might have been better 2 years ago.
When they went to the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
I mean, they have more depth, obviously.
Right.
And if some guys aren't playing well, they can put somebody else in, unlike the Sixers, who just, you know, have no bench at all.
No.
I'm surprised anybody on the bench scored last night as bad as they played.
By the way, I don't know if you were watching it. Did you see our old buddy Drew Holiday, how he just finished that playoff game?
No, but I heard of it. Look, guys they threw away. Drew Holiday, who's the other guy? Horford last night. Horford 30. Was unbelievable.
This whole series is ex-Sixers running around.
That was like, you never trade for a Dallas Cowboy. You never sign a Boston Celtic. It doesn't work.
It doesn't seem to work out.
It's like sabotage.
Yeah, it's like they're double agents and they go back.
And Iguodala, of course, is going to help Golden State win a championship. Well, be a part of Golden State winning a championship, maybe.
Well, Iguodala is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. That we know.
I don't know about that.
Finals MVP in 2015. Finals MVP.
That's once. How many times are you an All-Star? Like once?
How many Finals MVPs are not in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
not many.
Anybody can be a Finals MVP.
But usually it's the LeBrons and the Michaels and the Kobes and the Shaqs, Iggy. I'm just saying.
Listen, you're not the only person that I've heard say that, and yeah. I keep telling them they're crazy too.
Last thing is, you're not going to believe it, Rob. The Phillies won a series.
I saw
they
today.
Won their first road series of the season.
Their bullpen actually carried them.
I
today.
Did, and they got a lot out of Bailey Falter. Obviously, spot start because the COVID issues with the Phillies, but Rhys Hoskins is in one of those hot streaks again.
Yeah, he. Everybody's ripping the guy and saying the guy should be benched or sent down or traded or whatever.
Well, sent down is silly.
Line drive home run.
Right
just inside the foul line.
And that if they don't get that, they don't score today. That was the only runs.
The camera work today was brutal.
It was weird on the home run, too.
I never saw the home run. Yeah. It's like, I know it's going close, but they never showed where it landed. And they had a couple plays where I think Bohm caught a pop fly, and they were on two other people at the time.
It happened last night, too. I don't know what it was in this series.
Yeah, it's like the cameras weren't following it.
Yeah. All right, Rob. You're up next.
I should tell you that we have our 100th anniversary special coming up tonight.
What time?
At 10:30.
Oh, you're going to hop on, you're going to start the show, and then 10:30.
And I'm going to talk to Steve Martorano a little bit.
All right.
And I'll probably talk a little basketball, and then we got the special, and then we'll talk basketball again.
So how long is the special?
An hour and a half, 90 minutes.
So from 10:30 tonight until 12, it's 100th year anniversary of WIP.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
And you're in it, too.
Oh, wow. I'll be listening. Rob Cherry coming up, his thoughts on the Sixers, and then don't forget, 10:30 tonight, 100th anniversary of WIP. Rob put together an awesome special, so be listening and enjoy your night. Back tomorrow on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.